Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you that we can worship freely before your throne this morning with this body of believers here, Lord. I know there's many missing, Lord, and I just pray for them as well, too, Lord, that as they are off doing whatever they're doing, Lord, that they would be encouraged. We think of Tommy Lana, Lord, as he just shares his heart this morning, Lord, that you would just encourage our brother, Lord, and we just love them, and we just maybe don't tell them often enough how much we appreciate them. So I just ask for encouragement on their lives, Lord, and as they have safe travels, Lord, that you would just be with them throughout this time, Lord, and to this morning, Lord, that the words that are spoken through whoever speaks this morning, Lord, that it would be your word. Lord, that we humbly come before you and know that we do not deserve anything but death, Lord, but by your grace we are saved, Lord. And so I just ask, Lord, that your words would be on my lips this morning, Lord, and that you would just bless those here, encourage us all to listen and just to kind of spur off and think and pray about what we hear and just encourage one another. In your name we pray. Amen. So I was off last weekend. We had our big roundup to our system integration, we call it, which is many, many months of long days and nothing working. And the culmination of having the weekend working till 10, 11 o'clock at night, and it still doesn't work. So we're a week into it, and it's working, but it's still got problems. And that's kind of the story of life, where no matter how much you plan and try to get things done in front of you, it's not your plan that matters. It's his plan. And so I just was encouraged as I was away. I had a little bit of free time and listened to some sermons and different things. And one thing that really caught to me was a sermon about the underground church in China and what they have and kind of what propels them. And one of the interesting things was that they had five pillars that they go by. But the speaker was talking specifically about the things that the church is seeing and the growth that you see in China, but when it's being able to be freely shared, it's not growing as quickly as when they're being persecuted. And there's actually people in China that are praying that they would be persecuted because the church grows even greater then. And so it's pretty powerful. So I'm just going to talk about the five pillars and specifically focus on one today, just because I felt the Lord has really been speaking to me and hopefully to the church about the specific thing. Obviously, number one is the Word of God. It's the foundation of everything, right? So that's the number one pillar that they have. The second one is prayer, and that's going to be my focus. But obviously, they feel a need to pray and pray continuously, to pray individually, to pray as a body, and to just have a lot of prayer. The third is a missionary focus of all. And so it's to have a heart to serve others, not just within their church, but within the community. And can you imagine, as a the persecuted church in China, if you have to do all that underground, that's tough. And it's hard to expose yourself to find ways to share and get people to know if you can really share with them, because they could turn you in. But this is what they pray for. This is what they want. And this is their heart's desire of that church. It's pretty powerful. The other thing that they regularly expect is miracles. It's on their heart every day to expect miracles. When's the last time you've expected a miracle? Are you expecting a miracle right now? I can't say that I am. There's times when you pray about it and you, Lord, you did that a long time ago. You're not doing that now. But he is. He's doing it everywhere. And that's what the Church of China wants. And then the last one, which is the toughest, is they pray for embraced suffering for the glory of God. So they're willing, they want to suffer for the glory of God. How was your life this morning? Is it pretty easy? You want to suffer? Do you want to raise your hand and say, I'll suffer? We all suffer, but we don't necessarily ask for it. But how are you doing it when you do suffer? Are you giving it back to the glory of God? That's tough. So those are five things that when I heard the speaker speak about it, it's all things that in our lives should be the same. It should be the same desires of our hearts in this world today, in America. And this world is kind of going a little crazy. And just some examples of it, it's kind of interesting. You know, if anybody's heard of Uber or Lyft, they're two different kind of taxi services. And it's a big deal because it's trying to, take over for taxis. And for the consumer, me, it's a lot cheaper. So in my business travels, I've been using it more. Well, the last time I used Uber was in California. And it worked great. It was half the price of a taxi. Well, then the next week you hear in in Michigan, the Uber driver was the guy that picked up people, dropped them off, and then went and killed somebody. Then he went and got his next people, dropped them off, and then went and killed two more people. And he continued that, and he killed like five or six people for no reason other than just to kill them. And so then it's like, well, maybe I shouldn't use that service. So last week I go to Philadelphia. The other competitor to Uber is Lyft. So I use Lyft. Great service, half the price. Getting to the airport in Philadelphia, it was terrible trying to find him because he was, I don't know what, I think he was from Nigeria. So it was really hard to talk to him on the phone to understand what route you were taking or where he was supposed to meet you. But he did, and then you find out that he's a financial advisor on the side, and when he's got downtime, he drives. The guy in California the same way. He worked on for Hollywood. He was a cameraman for one of the TV shows, and when they're in between their sessions, he drives. So it's kind of cool to meet these people. But then we went back to the airport last Monday, and the same thing, a different driver, and he was worked for the post office for 40 years and just wanted to meet people because he was bored of sitting at home. Well, that same day in Washington, going to the airport, a lady had used Lyft, and she continued on, and the driver was supposed to drop her off at the airport. Well, he just kept driving. He wouldn't let her out of the car. He just kept driving and driving and driving. No particular place, but just kept driving and never dropped her off. So there we go. Lyft is out and Uber's out. So now I guess I got to drive my own car. But at the same time, when that stuff happens, people are like, are you crazy? Are you going to try to use it? You know, we got to trust in the Lord on these things. You know, we don't know when our time is up. And that's why prayer is so powerful. I read this morning, there was a gal in China. She was in a building. She was in the elevator right before the Chinese New Year. She went up. The elevator broke down. They came in and said, is the elevator, you know, not working? Nope. So what they do, they shut the power to the building down because it's the Chinese New Year. Well, she was in the elevator. They hollered. They didn't hear anybody respond. This morning, they found her in the elevator after a month because they've been gone for so long for celebrate their holiday. She's dead. It's like, that could be any of us. So it's just, you know, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. It's crazy things like that can happen anywhere and to any of us. And so when you see the things that are going on in the games that we see our nation going through right now with a lot of political battles happening and just the degradation of really society, we need to really count on the Word of God in prayer. And so what I wanted to go to was James chapter 5. And I think what the Lord really spoke to me about was just the fact that we, you know, sometimes we lack in our prayer lives and we lack on our focus because we're so busy and we have so many things going on. But it's really an important time as a body of believers that when we get to get together on a Sunday morning to really take advantage of the time that we have to pray for one another, to lift our voices to the Lord, and to make sure that we really are encouraged. You may have chaos before you come in the building, but let it go. Come in here and just be prepared. Like Thomas said before, are you preparing on Saturday night for Sunday morning? Are you preparing even the week before for what's coming this Sunday morning? Because you know, we should meet every day, but we obviously have to, you know, work and do different things. But we are meeting with the Lord every day. And as a body, what we'll find is through prayer, we actually are communing with Him and as a body. So we don't just have to be here to do this. So let's just read 13 through 20. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has a great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone amongst you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from the wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So it's pretty powerful, the opportunity we have. And again, I think in the way things are in America today with the business of life, sometimes we forget to do these things and just really ponder on these words. Is anyone in here suffering? We know people are suffering, right? If you're cheerful, anybody in here cheerful? I hope so. Let them sing praise. You know, we get to celebrate the life of a newborn baby. We get to, that's awesome. Josh, I don't want to say suffering, but you had to go through pain with your surgery, but you're here. Praise God. These things that we go through, we need to be with one another, and we need to encourage one another to celebrate, because it's not just you as an individual, but we as a body that gets to do this together. So encouraging. And if the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. You pray consistently, praying for miracles for people that are sick. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you pray and people don't make it, then people start questioning, well, why didn't God heal that person? You know, we had lots of prayers. It's up to him. But we need to continuously go to him and bring our needs before the Lord, because if we don't, he's not going to answer them. If we're going to do it as a body of believers, that's great. And usually what happens is if somebody reports something back, then the faith of others grows through that. And so if we're going to all live individual lives and come here on Sunday and say everything looks great, we're not going to grow. We need to be in each other's lives. I don't want to say the word community, because sometimes community can mean we're part of Mineota as a community, but really, are we part? Are you part of a family where you can share with one another, where you worry about your friend more than you worry about your friendship? You know, that's key, because a lot of the times we just want to have friendships with everyone, and we're not willing to go and reach out and say, hey, Tony, how are you really doing? You know, I see this in your life. Or Tony can do that back to me and say, Matt, I see you're, you know, faltering in this. We need to be able to do that with one another in a loving way, in a brother and sister way, that we can share our hearts with one another to grow and to be accountable to each other. So I think it's crucial. And so so I think what it kind of reminded me of was that the Lord really is just asking me, where's your joy? Have you lost your joy, Matt, in what you see in the church and what you see in your home and what you see in your workplace? And in some areas, I have. I've lost my joy. But it's through the Word of God that it gives it back. And it's not because it's something I'm doing, but it's something that He's doing. And so it's crucial that we give it to Him. So when you think of, okay, well, what if you just don't know what to pray? If you're on your own, what do you pray? Read the Word. I find myself a lot of times that I'll just read a hymn, an old hymn or a new song to start off my prayer time, because if you know, it's just so busy and it can't get a quiet time, you just need to, it takes time to focus first. And some of the things, you know, just some that came to mind while I was writing was just, this is the start of my prayer time, was not singing it because I have a terrible voice, but stating it. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And it may continue on. Other things that I've said this morning was a song that I like to sing. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And just by making those statements, sometimes singing it is really good too, but by making it as a statement, it's powerful. It's like, yeah, that's you know, we can, all these songs that we sang this morning, if you just read the words and not just shout them out, but read them, it's powerful. That's the Lord. It's what's He giving us? We don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything. But everything He's given to us, it's hard sometimes. And then the last one I had on here was, my sin, oh, the bliss of the glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. How awesome to know that it all rests in Him. So what I just wanted to turn back to is 2 Samuel 7. And just have a reminder here to the church of what David did. So obviously he was very strong, and he always, the Lord, you know, took care of him, and he wanted to build a throne for God. And God reminds us that it's not us that builds a throne, but it's he who builds a throne in us. And I think that's important and powerful. And here, looking in chapter 7, verses 26 through the end. And your name will be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and the house of the servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised the good things to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. Now, there's a lot of great people in the Old Testament, a lot of powerful people like David. But what do we have over them? It's God in us. So it doesn't matter how many battles they fought and they won. We haven't necessarily fought any battles and won any, but it's him giving us a house, that he dwells in us. And each one of us is part of that house and a pillar of that house. So I just wanted to focus on in this, specifically verse 27. The second part of it where it says, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And I think it does disservice by saying found courage, because truthfully, we would never find courage in ourselves. And the worldly people that we may be, the only way we can find courage is by finding it in him and through his word. So for us to find courage, what do we need to do? We need to get before the Lord. We need to get in the scriptures. We need to really search on him to know who we are as part of his, you know, each part of us is a part of the body. What am I? Am I the finger? Be happy with being the finger. Am I the heel? Be happy with being the heel. Whatever we are, we're each an intricate part of it, and it's important. And so for us to find the courage, again, we should scratch that out in a sense and say it's God's word that encourages us. So it's finding the heart to pray, not the courage to pray, but the heart to pray. And man doesn't have a heart to pray unless it's a heart of God. And so it's important to go before the Lord and search his scripture and to know his word, that you will have a heart to pray. And then it doesn't necessarily become repetitive, but it becomes an encouragement that you want to continuously do this. You continuously want to go to the Lord in prayer and be before him, not because it's on your, you know, checklist for each day to do, but because you desire to do it, because it's the desire that he puts inside of you. That's pretty powerful. So it's only by him, through the word, that we can bring that desire to our hearts. And that desire gives us strength, and that desire gives us the drive to pray. And so we need to go before the Lord with it and bring it out. Then jumping to the New Testament, we'll go into Ephesians 2. Verses 19 through the end. So again, once we know that he builds a house in us, then this is the things we get to partake in as a body of believers. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So it's through the Spirit that we You know, as we sang Cornerstone this morning, how, you know, that He is our cornerstone. And each one of us, we get to be, a part of that building block up of being that temple. So we as a body together, if you're missing one of us, you're building shaky. So we all need to be a part of that. And it's only by the Spirit that we can do that. But He allows it, right? Back in the Old Testament, wasn't the same. Here, we are intricate parts of that body and intricate parts of that, you know, the building of the temple. Then also look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And again, kind of the same lines, verses 4 and 5. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves live like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So again, along the same lines, where we are chosen, we're precious by Him to be a part of the spiritual house. And we can't take that lightly. We can't discount what the Lord has for us and what He wants us to do in our lives. It's important that we, again, get together and pray. I know Mike pushes hard Wednesday night prayer, and it's powerful, and he encourages you to come, and it's important. And I think it's important if you can come. But again, even here on Sunday mornings, the body of believers is here, and hearing your voice pray out, hearing Melissa pray out this morning, encouraged my heart and helped me grow in faith. Hearing the next person, hearing Mike, hearing whoever it is. Again, you don't realize what it does for others in the room that may be having a bad day or may be discouraged or may be happy, but the joy level goes up even another step when they hear the prayer of another brother or sister, especially if you haven't prayed out, in a while or maybe never have, because we know it's not us as individuals praying out, but it's just us opening our mouths and letting the Lord speak through us. So we need to keep doing that. And I think what happens is we forget who we are in Christ. And that's why we forget and don't want to pray, because we forget, what has He done for us? He sent His only Son to die on a cross to give us life. And so when you come here, the least you can do is open your mouth, right? We should sing praises of joy to Him every day for what He's done for us. So again, He will not merely build us a house, but He will make us His house. I think that's important. He will fill us with His presence, His beauty, and His glory by just being together and praying together. And so, again, being away from you guys last Sunday was hard. Normally you can get caught up in the busyness of life, and when you really sit back and realize that you miss your brothers and sisters, you know God's working, because it's easy to go on with every day and continue on with the chaos. But really, just to be before you guys and be with you guys, it's an encouragement. Each one of us have a unique opportunity or unique circumstances that we're going through that we need to just remember to love on one another. And one of the things that encouraged me too was in Hebrews 3, I think it's 3:13. Yeah, 3:13. It just talks about us making sure that we're diligent in what we're doing. And that says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So one of the things in the business world that we found out is that email actually ruined the business world. So nobody picks up phone calls anymore. And nobody, they just email me. That's the only kind of communication you have. And, the touch of the person or the voice of the person is no longer. And it's not a bad thing to send an email or a text to one another to encourage one another. But leave a voicemail, or something, just to hear your voice, to know, hey, Brother, I'm praying for you. Sister, I'm praying for you. I want to encourage you this morning. The Lord put you on my heart. You know, we do a lot of that. A lot of us pray for one another. But do you go that next step and tell that person that you're doing that? Because to be a body and to be a family, when you're at home, you don't, you know, not say something to somebody in your family if you're not want to get their attention, right? You know, you can't just assume that your kids are being disciplined if you're not doing anything, right? You have to step forward and do something. And so I just want to encourage everyone. I'm very guilty at it, that I do. I pray a lot for every one of you in the room, but I fail to go that next step and say, Joanne, I'm praying for you this week. The Lord really put you on my heart. I don't know why, but whatever it is, I just hope you're encouraged by it. We need to do that. It's really an opportunity for us in some places. You know, can you think of the villages out in the middle of Africa that, you know, there's not very many people and the next village over is hundreds of miles away? They don't get that luxury to be able to do that. Or have you wrote a letter? You know, that's probably how they would do that, to say they're praying for somebody. But, you know, to have that desire to go that next step of not just praying for one another, but also encouraging one another throughout the week. Because it's easy to do it here. It's easy to end church and, you know, give hugs and say, I'm doing well. But you step out of that, those front doors, what happens? Life goes back to chaos. Do you pray? Do you pray for your family? Do you pray for the church body? Okay, go that one more step and encourage them. Encourage one another. Obviously, the Lord is telling us to do it, so we need to do it. And if you have a sin that you need to share with somebody, share it. Tom, Mike, myself, Kevin, from the church, we're more than willing to come before and pray with you. But even to one another, we can do it. It doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, an elder or a deacon. It can be each one of us. And the humbleness of sharing a sin with somebody as part of the church family can be hard to do. But it's also an encouragement to you and to that other person, because it lifts them up to know that they are part of, like we talked earlier about, if you get to be a part of saving someone, you know, not being the one saving, but the Lord saving, but being a part of it, how powerful is that to know that you were part of God's working? So I think that's really, really good. So with that, I just again want to encourage everyone to just again continue to seek the Lord, and with the things we have going on in our lives. You know, I just think of this time of the election and all the stuff you hear and the filth and different things like that. Don't get discouraged by it, but pray about it. You know, the Lord's going to put in office a leader that he wants in the office. We have really no say about it, right? And whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But if you trust in the Lord, he's going to take it. You know, it's a decisive time. It's difficult. I mean, we should pray for Chris and Jess as they go up. You know, to go and, you know, Chris is dealing firsthand with the stuff we hear, you know, and thank you, Chris, for your service. It's not easy. You know, the stuff that you have to go against and try to stand your ground and to be a Christian is even harder sometimes because, you know, the X is put on his back. So, again, pray for them as a family and remind them that you're praying for them. So when he's in his late night meetings, and he's exhausted, that he knows he's got a church back here that's behind him. It's important. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tim and just encourage you all and love you all.
I think I didn't know how things were going to go or timing-wise, but could you get ready with the song? I think we'll sing it, and then I'll talk a little bit about it, and then I'll sing it again. Thanks a lot for sharing that. It's always encouraging to hear. I love Tom. Wouldn't replace him for the world, and obviously you're not, but what a blessing to hear from another brother and somebody who's in the workplace and dealing with stresses and life in a real way. Thanks for sharing. Appreciate it, brother. I didn't know what you were going to share, and so the hope would be that everything would dovetail real well, and it can kind of make a stretch that it will, but maybe not so much, but nonetheless, we'll just go with the Lord here and what he gave both of us. So what I'm going to do is we're going to sing a song. I wouldn't say that this is the model to base what you share. I mean, it's a special thing. Tom's gone, and so, but that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to pull any punches. So we're going to sing a song that's been in my head for a long time. Thankfully, it's biblically based scripture. It's great, and I hope it gets stuck in your head as well. So it does dovetail as far as our world's messed up, and we should pray about it. And our prayer, one prayer we should pray besides for each other would be, come, Lord Jesus, come. Make wrong these rights. This world is messed up. Taxi drivers, Uber drivers are killing people. This is messed up. Where's our hope lie? And so we'll sing the song, and I hope it gets kind of a little bit familiar with you. And then I'll talk a little bit about it, and then we'll sing it again to close. So I'll get situated here. You got the lyrics, Cora? Thank you. And then, Mike, would you be willing to kind of see if the if I'm too loud with the guitar? Or too soft? Thanks. And turn this guy off. All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come. Lord Jesus, come. There will be justice, all will be new. Your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come. Lord Jesus, come. So we wait for you. So we wait, you're coming soon. So we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon. So we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Like a bride waiting for her groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come,
Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come. Lord Jesus, come.
Amen, Lord. That is our cry. Oh, come. We live in a messed up world, racked with sin, and we pray that you'd come. You'd make all things right. We want to wait for you. We want to long for your returning, God. We pray as we continue to seek you and to lift you up and to look in your word that you'd bless the remainder of our time. Give us a heart for you. Amen. So, kind of obvious perhaps, but is Jesus coming back? It's a good place to start. And he is. And so if you want to bounce around with me, I'm just going to hit on a couple of scriptures just to remind us. Matthew 24:44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Jesus is coming. The Son of Man is coming. We must be ready. John 14:1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus will come back. Acts 1:11, a few pages over. Men of Galilee, so that they're looking intently up into the sky as Jesus rose, and suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus will return. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. For the Lord himself will return. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So Christ is coming back. Jesus is coming back. This is wonderful news. This is awesome. Praise God. I'm not going to get into, we don't have time, I don't have knowledge, post-trib, pre-trib, amillennial, all that. But what we do know, I love four thoughts that we, if we're Bible-believing Christians, can all agree on, that when Jesus comes, unbelievers will be judged. There'll be a final reward for believers. Thirdly, believers will live with Christ in a new heaven and a new earth for all eternity. And fourthly, God will be worshipped in a never-ending kingdom with no more sin or sorrow or sufferings. Those things we can all agree upon. It'll be wonderful. It's going to be awesome. It'll be fantastic. I was just reading, I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy by the name of Wayne Grudem. He has a systematic theology book that is fantastic. I love how fair he is, how well he treats. Somebody that could read that would say, yeah, that's what I believe. And then he'll tell you what the scripture would say. So even if you disagree, he's really fair. And he represents, whether you're Catholic or Lutheran, they could all agree with what he says as far as, yep, that's what I believe. Then he'll go into scripture. So I love what he says here from this. We should eagerly long for Christ's returning. So he asks the questions, do Christians in fact eagerly long for Christ's return? The more Christians are caught up in enjoying the good things of this life, and the more they neglect genuine Christian fellowship and their personal relationship with Christ, the less they will long for his return. So that does dovetail with what Matt said. Are we focused on this world, on this life, on the here and now, on what needs to be done, on making money, whatever the case might be? We don't really care then about Jesus coming. We may believe it, but it's an afterthought. But if we are consumed with Christ, and if we are communing with Him and with other believers, we can't wait to be with Jesus, to see Him, to have Him come. Where are you at with that? On the other hand, many Christians who are experiencing suffering, the church in China, or persecution, or who are perhaps more elderly or infirm, and those whose daily walk with Christ is vital and deep, will have a more intense longing for Jesus' return. So the harder life is, the more hopefully we're digging down roots in Jesus and we're longing for His return. To some extent then, the degree in which we actually long for Jesus' return is a measure of the spiritual condition of our own lives at the moment. So how's your longing? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at? How's your barometer of your soul? How much do you long for Jesus to return? That in some measure could be a gauge of how's your spiritual walk with the Lord, a snapshot right now. I pray that we long for His return. I pray, I just thought of a few things. I mean, taxi drivers or Uber drivers rather, that should make us cry out, this is wrong, Jesus, fix this. If you've ever been made fun of, or if you have kids and you see your kids being made fun of, it just tears you apart. It's like, oh, Lord, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And you want to be defensive. You want to be a helicopter parent and fix things. And so your heart just cries out, Lord, this is terrible. Please stop this. Abortion. It's tragic. What are we doing to the next generation? Lord, this is wrong. Please come. Make wrong the rights. Make right the wrongs, rather. Human trafficking. We live in a messed up world. God, Jesus, come. Work now and come and save us from this mess. In some respects, we want You, Jesus. We need You every day. Please come. Lord, give us a faith. Vengeance is Mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So we may not bear grudges ourselves, but look to the Lord. And so that song, Come, Jesus, that should be the cry of our heart. Every day, we were not made for this world. We were made for another. And so let's long for that. That doesn't mean that we don't plan for the future and be wise, but let's live every day in communion with Him, longing for His return, longing for more of Him now and an ultimate, eternal consummation of that with His bride, the church. We need to be ready as individuals. We need to be ready as the universal church, ready for Jesus. Are we? Are we? Let's pray and then sing again and worship. And again, I hope that song gets lodged in your soul this week. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, do give us a heart, as Matt talked about, for one another, that we would lift one another up. Do give us a heart for You, communion with You, and a longing to see wrongs made right, to see You risen and victorious, the reigning King. Oh, God, we want to be ready for You. Help us to be ready. We don't want to be like the foolish virgins who ran out of oil. We want to be ready for You. So help us to be. Help us to have hearts for You. Ah, You're so worthy, Jesus. We love You. Amen. So let's stand and again just let this be the cry of our hearts as we close. All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of Your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for You. Every heart longing for our
King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. There will be justice, all will be new, your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. So we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon. So we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon.
So we wait.
So we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon.
Like a bride.
Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Like a bride.
Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Jesus, we love you. What a beautiful groom laid down your life. For your bride, oh, we worship you. You're beautiful. How good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I encourage you, as Matt shared, feel free to linger. Feel free, even if you do bolt out, touch base throughout the week, encourage one another, bless one another, be real with one another. Amen. Thank you for coming. Have a great week.